biological clock adjusted. I just learned about it this morning. LL said he adjusted his. And that's the reason I was late last night. I still had Oklahoma time, but I readjusted it. And I've got that biological clock adjusted now, so I'm here. Aren't you glad I'm here?
Yes, sir.
I'm glad I'm here.
Yes, sir.
How many preachers have had heart attacks? Isn't that we have here, right in this building? Now, you can go a lot of places and see a lot of things. Are you looking for a miracle? Are your eyes shut?
Yes, sir.
There he sits right there behind Brother Benny. Why, he was like a zombie.
Right, for years.
Like a zombie. You folks that don't know, that man just went around.
Right.
I'm not making fun. I'm just telling you how he went. He's alert this morning. That's a great miracle. You're looking for miracles? There sets a miracle. Just like the days of Jesus. Right here in our midst.
That's right.
Another miracle. Do you overlook miracles? God wants to help me. Here he's trying to help you. You look for things sometimes. God trying to show us. You see that man jumping and jumping here? While he's jumping, you see, I've been through that hard business now myself. And I said, God help him. And it didn't bother him, did it? If he wasn't a miracle, he'd kill him, Charlie. Are you listening to me, Charlie? Another old miracle sitting right there. Another. Come out of the wild man's country. Brother packed it and gun all the time. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you something. He's given me too much time, and he probably had no tape. I told him to edit these tapes and just mark out what he don't think ought to have been in there. Kind of protect me just a little. Amen. I'm glad to be here. I don't want to worry you with details, but I didn't come to play church. If you think you sing to get me to shout, you just, well, stop, I'll shout anyhow. But if you don't sing, I won't like it. You ought to sing. I never saw such a mind in a man like that. A mind that can make everything rhyme and come out. I've never seen nothing like that. I was up on the house. I need to tell you this, and I'll leave it alone a while. I don't want to worry. I was up on the house patching a hole for my son, Terry. I felt a little bad. I went down and laid down on the porch, and I said, I'll get up and go back. And when I got up to go back, I saw I was going out, and I said, I don't want to fall on my face, and I flipped over and fell on my back. And I got back up in a little bit, and I said, my granddaughter, call my daughter and get her over here. She came over, and I kept a little old pickup and rode the house and got out of that and walked to the car and went to the hospital and walked to the wheelchair, and they hauled me in and laid me up in there in that emergency room. And behind my back to my wife, the greatest surgeon we have in that country, Anwar from Pakistan. He's worked on G.W. Birdsong. He's worked on a lot of it. He said, your husband can't be here. He has to be dead. He should be dead. He's not even supposed to be here. But I was there. And the Lord came to me. And he gave me three or four words that old man in Arkansas used to sing at Deep Queen. And I've told you before, when they didn't have all the singers there to sing it, he'd sing all four parts. I do not walk alone, and I am not afraid. When troubles are gathering around, I'm not dismayed. Now, that might not be well at alto, soprano, and bass, and tenor, but he got all four of them when he didn't have anybody else there to help him sing. And the only part of that the Lord brought to me and handed to me, I mean, he gave it to me. I do not walk alone, and I am not afraid, all the way through. Never scared. I give the Lord, never afraid of it. Out of it. When David, my backslid son, stood at the end of bed, and Terry was standing there in my chair, and I do not walk alone, and I'm not afraid. When that black man shaved me like a hog early that morning, them doctor right behind that screen and my children here, last thing I said is, I do not walk alone, and I'm not afraid. And it would. And it would. Who gets the glory? Not me. I don't want to worry. But the reason I'm telling you this morning is it goes with my text. I have a text. One more text, Benny. And if your bunch ain't heard it and they ain't here, I may use it there because one's all I've got so far. And that's this one right here. If it's a text, I've heard preachers take texts and go from them. I wish they had never left them. Would have been better to stay with the text. I'm glad B come with me and we got here.
Yes, sir.
I'm happier to be here than I have been before. Somehow it takes experiences to help folks with their experience sometime. I have had men shake my hand and said, I understand, Brother Moore. And I knew they did. I have had men shake my hand and say, I understand. I say, you don't know nothing about it. You don't even know what I'm saying. But I understood you when you said you had your biological clock set and you keep changing things. Yeah, your hair has receded a little and it's lost a little of that red stuff it used to have. You stay out of this. You ain't a preaching this over here. He didn't even preach last night. I have an ocean asking for half his offer, and he never did preach last night. You can't help but like that boy. I've always loved him. What saith the answer of God unto him? That's my text. What saith? Not great text. What saith the answer of God unto him? B's father lay in the hospital at the point of death, and the great physician said, he'll live, he'll make it all right. He walked down the hall, and the spirit said to me, he will die before the gray dawn of another day. The greatest physician said, he's fine, he'll make it all right. The spirit said to me, he will die before the dawn of another day. What? Say it, the answer of God. And I said, B, your daddy will die tonight. Oh, she said, no, the doctor said, no, it doesn't matter. He will die tonight, and he's lost. He's lost. She went to his side and said, Daddy, oh, Daddy. She said, speak to him. I said, not me, it's you. You're lost. You're lost. You're away from God. He wrung his hand. How much does it take to get saved? You got to come regular. You got to be faithful. You got to pay tithe. You don't have to do nothing. He paid it all, every bit of it. No way can you tell any living human that's lost they must do this, that, or the other. There's just one thing they have to do. Just don't cost a dime. Amen. Many old girl painted up worse than a clown, died and went to the glory world to be with God just because she did that one thing. That one thing. She said, Daddy, oh, Daddy, you're lost. He wrung his hands on that bed and said, God, have mercy on me. And he did. And he died before daylight. What saith the answer of God unto him? Sister Tatham, lately, a few weeks ago now, not just a few weeks ago, down the church in Oklahoma that you've been to, Benny, right there, Sister Tatham, Ferris Tatham, why? And I was off preaching or something somewhere, and they called and said, they put her in the hospital, she's bad. Well, I went to prayer for her. A little while back now, since I've been through my little valley, and the Spirit came to me and said, it's not her time to be buried. Now, let's put that in correct English, all right? The Spirit said to me, it's not her time to be buried. Well, let's say that in up-to-date language, all right? It's not her time to be buried. With all of her adjectives and verbs and proverbs and nouns and pronouns, and God says what he says. And he talks a language you understand. And he speaks it so you can understand it. He may have to say to me or you or anybody else, that's what whosoever means. Maybe a better definition, but I understood that, you see. What saith the answer of God unto him? It is not her time to be buried. They rushed her to the hospital. I called into the room they allotted for her. One word was said, "Hello, Sue." I said, "How are you?" She said, "Brother Moore." You know, when you get acquainted, some folks ain't never got acquainted. That's the reason they can't get along. They ain't never got acquainted yet. Had an old saint dying at home in the hospital. She's laying there dying. One of the best I had. She said, "Help my boy get saved if you can, Brother Moore. I'm going on home. Help him get saved. He is a bad boy." Well, another neighbor come in, and I'll come in a few hours later, not too much later, but she come out, said she can't say nothing. You can't understand the words she says. Said, they know you're trying to communicate with her. I just said to myself, you don't talk or talk, and you don't understand her. You're not in the world she's in. I went to her bed. She looked at me, had a stroke, dying with it, but said, "Brother Moore, help Johnny." I said, "I will." Went on to the glory world. Sister Tatham was in there, and that doctor said, she's in a terrible, terrible shape, in a horrible condition. "Sue," I said, "God said to me, it's not her time to be buried." Well, she got from bad to worse and from worse to worse. In intensive care for hours, kidneys locked up. Got her back out in the room, thought she was all right, rushed her back to die. I don't know how long they thought she was dying, hours and hours of it. And all the time, all I could do was call back and say, it's not her time to be buried yet. Look like they're going to have to bury that woman. Can't make it. Can't make it. Can't make it. But she did and walked into my house the other day down there in better shape and looks better than she has in many, many years, and happy as she could be. And she felt good all over, worse than anywhere else. Woo! What God say? Loose him. Let him go. A lot of folks going to tie you up, you know. Loose him. Well, it's just a little text I picked up, and it won't be any better than you've heard out of any of these boys. I'm going to tell you this last one, then I'm going to take the Bible a little while and talk about it. See, I've got to be careful. It takes me about an hour and a half to get started now because of my condition. I've been told I shouldn't take as much time because of what I've been through, but what I've been through puts me through it worse than ever now. I think, Mike, I can't get anything said on the start, and I can't stop after I get started. You ever look at a man that had an excellent spirit? I don't even know that old boy sitting there, hardly. I don't hardly know him. But when he looked at me this morning, he didn't have to say nothing. He didn't have to say nothing. A lot of people got extra spirit. But I want to talk to you a while about this last little point. About a year ago when you had this meeting, a little while after that meeting, or at the meeting, let me tell it like it is. If this is wrong, we'll have to work this tape on. That's up to you if you don't fix this tape, LL. LL said, "Brother L.D. Moore will be preaching in this meeting next year." Hallelujah. Amen? We didn't talk about that until a couple of months ago. He never called me. I never called him. I never said nothing to him. He never said nothing to me. And about 2 months ago, we didn't make contact till it wasn't over 2 months ago we made contact. And he said, "You're coming, aren't you, Brother Moore?" I said, "Yeah." That's what God gave me. That was the answer that God gave me to hold on to all during that deal. I said, "You moved on L.L. Collins to announce I'd come. And I know I won't die." That was the answer of God. What saith the answer of God unto him? We're reading from the book of Exodus 19 and 19. Book of Exodus 19 and 19. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by voice. Talk every language under heaven. Knows every dialect that ever was. I've heard him talk, and it sounded like they're just a cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha to me. I couldn't understand a thing. That's the way we buffaloed the Japanese in World War II. We took one of them Indians down there in Oklahoma, talked several different languages. They talk a language sound like a bunch of sticks are rattling together nearly to me. But them Japanese couldn't understand what them Indians was saying. They never did break that code. And we sent messages to our troops through that Indian language. What saith the answer of God unto him? Yes, sir. And I heard one of them talk that language they used, and that's the nearest nothing sounding I ever heard. Sounds as bad as English does. What saith the answer of God unto him? From the book of the Bible, Exodus 19 and 19. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, loud, and waxed louder and louder, and Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Whose voice? What kind of voice? The kind you can understand. The kind you can understand. Somebody said, God don't say ain't. God don't say shan't. God doesn't talk ignorance. He's well qualified to speak in the right kind of English. He talks the kind you understand. You hear me? That's the way God answers you. You know the worst grades I ever made in school, you'd never guess it with my profound English this morning. But it was in the class of English I made D minuses and Fs. Never realizing I'd need it bad later on. What saith the answer of God unto him? It doesn't matter so much what some folks say. It doesn't matter so much what some ladies say or some men say, what some neighbor said. What did God say? They declared war on us in World War II. The Germans did. You know what our answer was? I always liked it. So what? I love that answer. So what? You may not know, but that's what we answered. Our official answer was, so what? Did you hear from God? What did he say? You can be happy when other folks think you ought to be dead. You can live when other folks think you can't walk no more. Because God answered. Amen. Who's that on the other end of the line? That's God on him. Whew, have mercy. The devil talks, I know it. He's the yakety yacker I ever heard. But look. When I went to Mexico to preach that meeting for that little fella in that little church, all the way there years ago in that old rattletrap car, devil said, you're not needed. They don't need you there. Why are you going? You ought to go back home. Call them or write them. Tell them you can't come. They don't need you. You're not needed there, Joey. Why go? I just prayed and fought the devil all the way out there. When I drove up in the pasture yard, he come out. Oh, Brother Moore, I'm glad you're here, but said my Sunday school's down. Ain't hardly nobody coming. Nobody hardly interested. And we ain't getting nothing done. I'm ashamed to have you come the shape we're in. And all the way there, the devil said, you're not needed. Right. Whatever word he said, just pick me up higher and higher. I hope your church is real flat Thursday night, Benny, so if I say anything, it'll lift them up a little, you know. I mean, it had a reverse effect on me. Encouraged me and strengthened me. The longer he talked, the better I felt. I said, devil, where are you at? All the way out here, you told me I wasn't needed. I needed bad. They in such a bad shape, they need a man plays in G and sings in C, just like I do. They need a man don't know where to start or quit, just like I am. These folks need help. They'll appreciate anything. They clap hands to sing and played in one key and sung in another. They need help. What saith the answer of God unto him? Exodus 19:19. And when the voice and the trumpet sounded long, waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, God answered him by a voice. So We're going to talk a little while this morning. I don't want to preach too long. Don't be a bit. If I stop quicker than you think I ought to, why just do what you do, LL. I don't want to go too long here. I hear you be. Look at 2 Samuel 21 and 1. There was a famine. We can cause them, and we have, but sometimes God sends them. And oh, what will happen to poor old gluttonous America if she ever has a famine? This happened. Then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year. Well, that isn't important to say, Lord, we ought to teach you how to write the Bible here. 3 years, year after year. Would anybody know that? No, they wouldn't. It didn't have to be 1 year after the other. It could have been a year, and then 5 years later, another year. Benny, can't you see that? And then 3 or 4 years later, another year. But year after year in succession. God knows what He's doing. Amen? Hallelujah. Who was that old man in the Bible got his hand on the wrong boy's head, they thought? Who was he? Yeah. Jacob, was that it? Yeah, you said, Dad, you got your hand on the wrong one. You got the young one for the elder and all this. Our tradition says that you have to do this a certain way. Do you know how? Last night, I was glad you got out of the road like you did, son. Give God a chance to work. Amen. Somebody said, we got the cart before the horse. I think we ought to have a few times. That we ought to have the cart before the horse. Amen. You got your dad, you're all mixed up. No, he wasn't mixed up. They was mixed up. He wasn't the one mixed up. They was the one that was mixed up. Year after year, 3 years, year after year, David inquired of the Lord. There's a famine. Tell you what it is. We didn't put enough fertilizer on that last stuff we planted. We overwatered it. Let's get our sinus together and figure out what's the matter here. No, something else is happening. David realized it, and he inquired of the Lord. Why aren't things going like we want them to go, Lord? Why aren't we able to raise our food to eat? Why is it that nothing's growing and we're getting no rain? Well, folks, don't think that. Call the Weather Bureau. Have you got the number of the Weather Bureau? Let's call them and find out what's wrong here. Yes. Why are we having so many hurricanes? They know God nowhere. We just want to know why we're having all these hurricanes. Can't we get this figured out? Let's call Alaska somewhere and find out. David inquired, what saith the answer of God unto him? Did God say anything about it? He won't speak loud enough, hardly, to be heard sometime. Then he roars with the voice of thunder. But can we get an answer from God? Will God answer us? Will God help us? I want to ask you, don't raise your hand just to please me. How many here has ever got an answer from the Lord? Look at the witnesses. Look at the witnesses. Well, you remind me of that old woman in Oklahoma shouted herself out of the woods during World War II. Mama, what's wrong? Not a thing. Not a thing. Lord showed me my boys coming home from bloody war. In the heat of battle, he got shot. Charlie, you jumped clear out of bed when you got home after you'd been in the war. Mary told me you jump out in the middle of the night, clear out in the middle of the floor. She said, Charlie, what in the world is wrong? She said, you heard that bomber, that plane coming again. And you react to it. Mama shouted out of the woods. Months went by. Got word he's bad injured. Said, Mama, oh, they thought Mama's off the rocker. Mama has flipped her lid. It's just her desire to see her son. And you know, we do think we get answers we don't get. Amen. But I'm talking about what saith the answer of God. Oh, it'll knock the bottom out of things sometime. It'll knock the bottom out of your plan sometime. Oh, but we must have the answer. So, one dark night, a bus pulled up in Payton, Oklahoma. The door opened, then a soldier walked out. 5 miles north of town where Mama lived, and it had been raining, there's puddles of water, nobody to haul him home. It was the way after dark. Moon shining, it had been raining, but it quit. He walked around, he said, the water holes for a while, but after a while, he walked right through them. is going home.
Yeah.
From war. Woo. Did you know he walked out there? Somebody, I heard somebody come and got out and looked and said, "Mama, guess who's coming down the road?" She said, "I don't know who's coming down the road." Her biological clock had been adjusted somewhere. I love that biological word. I don't know what a biological clock is. But it was her boy. And she knew it as well as if she just spoke to him. "Mama, what do you mean you know?" "Why, sure I know. God showed me praying in the woods that he'd come home." And she is so close with God, she knew it's him walking down the road out there in the dark. What saith the answer of God? It's not easy to accept the answer of God. It's not easy to accept it, but that's what we're dealing with for a while this morning. And maybe you'll get a little good out of it, and it might help you. There was a famine, the days of David, 3 years after. David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, "It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites." I'm going to tell you all something. If some folks would get an answer from God this morning, they'd load the pickup bed. They'd load the pocketbook. They'd load some other stuff. And they'd head for somebody that they need to take it to, that they're way behind on what God told them to do. And I'm not just talking about church support, but I do remember pastoring that famous church at Sepulpa, Oklahoma, when B and I had that plymouth that wouldn't start when it come a due, let alone a rain. Put new pistons, new everything in the world in it, new distributor parts, and then sprayed the outside the cabin all the wire with that moisture proof stuff. And every time they come a due, got so disgusted with that car I could have kicked the bumpers off of it. But I didn't. That's when I prayed earnestly, "God, give me a car that'll run." Went through, watch the Lord work. Went back to Oklahoma City through Colored Town. I'm not knocking, you understand that, but that's where most of our colored people live, and they call it Colored Town. And there sat a black 36 model, a six-cylinder Pontiac. Sitting there, black man had it for sale. I had this green Plymouth with the two radio rails. That's the only thing it had that amounted to anything. He traded me that. I bought his, and it was knocking. I heard it knocking. "Smith, are you here?" "Your father." "I heard it knocking." I said, "That's a main bar." I took it home, pulled the main off of it, put a new bearing in it, run like an old car. I said, "I believe we've got a low mileage car here. Clean, you know." I prayed just a little bit to you this morning on what saith the answer of God. What did the doctor say? What is his diagnosis? I have actually told people right verse from what he said, because I had heard from God, and people can, and you're nothing great if you do necessarily, but I had. The doctor said it's going to get worse. I say it's going to get better. Can't get worse. It's going to get better. No. I thought I had a low mileage car. I called a fellow who traded in. He said had it with 200,000 on it when I traded. I drove it to California, to Idaho. I drove that car thousands and thousands and thousands of miles. And it just kept on running, running when I sold it. What saith the answer? God rather take one had 200,000, answer you and tell you to buy it, and show you what he could do. If that's the only way he can do it, show you like that. What'd God say? I don't know. I didn't ask him. I asked the board. Preacher, are you afraid to open your mouth? What God will move on you to say and tell you to preach sometime is not going to fit the schedule. It's not going to fit what people want. It's not going to be what they want to hear. But all we want to hear from the Lord. I do want to hear from the Lord. The last one I used, LL announced I'd be here. I took that to that room with me. I took that in the middle of the night. And I said, I'll not die. I must be there to preach. If I don't preach no better than I have, son, I still need to be there and preach. What did God tell you? Did he tell you anything?
Come on.
Son, I had a meeting in Kansas City, and an old boy got saved one night. Got 21 or two. I'm talking to you about a problem you have. And he got saved one night. And he called me, told me, and the pastor said, I need a job. He said, I ain't got no job. He said, I need a job. And he said, he got prayed through good. Got joy, saved, got saved. He was about 21. Never been saved. Well, we just did what we do. Just three of us, a pastor, me and him. We just joined hands and said, God, would you give this boy a job? Back the next night, face shining like he swallowed a 100-watt light bulb and shining right out through his face, you know. He said, jobs I'm talking about. I told you. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You know what? He went to steel mill in that town. Went in. Said, like, have a job. Said, we've interviewed this morning, son. Said, it's been 56 fellows in here tonight. We're not hiring, son. Personnel manager there. And he said, we ain't hiring nobody. Said, we can't. Well, sir, he said, I thank you. He told us he'd like to go to work there. See, whatever. He walked and got to the door, and the man said, son, come back and take this form, fill it out, and report back tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Go to work. What saith the answer of God? Devil say you're going to get fired. Bless my heart, next day say we're shifting you up to another place and giving you a higher wage. Isn't that just like the devil to tear down everything God tells you? You don't have to be married to nobody. Whether they can or not, we can trust God and God will help us. That's the answer for you. What did he say? He said, you're forgiven. You know what David said to me, son, when he went through all that operation for cancer? Looked like he'd die. Still, he didn't get it all. It was still there. When God healed him and he got well, he said, Daddy, how much was that bill as he began to make money and work and haul hay? I said, I can't remember, son, and I can't. I didn't even save the bills to see what it was. It's rough stuff. But his father wiped it out. Wiped her out. What saith the answer of God? It'll get better, Joy, and you tell that girl I said it would. It's not her time to be leaving out of here. No. Just. What saith the answer of God? David inquired the Lord, said, why are we into this? Had 3 years of famine, and he said, God, tell me something. And the Lord answered. I rang and rang, and nobody answered the phone. I rang and rang, and nobody keep on ringing. After a while, get you an answer on it. And here, Lord answered David, and it is for Saul and for his bloody house because he slew the Gibeonites. You know, a lot of folk done a lot of things and thought they got away. But when trouble come knocking, David went to knocking. And the Lord answered, here's the reason. Do you mean my garden won't make nothing because I'm such a tight wad I wouldn't give a preacher a tomato out of it? It might be. Could be. Amen. You mean I can't have a good car to go to church in like a lot of other folks when I go steady and there faithfully? Do you support? Do you give? Check what some others are doing that you'd like to be like. Amen? Amen? You want to be a Charles Atlas? You don't remember who he was? Well, that's the fellow who used to be on the pictures of the world's most perfectly developed man. Well, you got to learn some table manners if you're going to be a Charles Atlas. You got to do some listening. You know why we don't get any further than we do a lot of time? We don't listen to God. Some people were here praying last night. I don't want to sound mean. I'm not personating. You don't know who I'm talking about. I want to say, sis, you're not going to get nowhere. We can all just pray till we give out or fall. And until, sis, the one I'm talking about, I don't know that they're here this morning. But until you in your heart say, yes, Lord, I'll take the answer and do what you said. A lot of time out of this unlocker service where folks are just a-stringing and a-wondering what in the world to do. And somebody say, yes, Lord. I'll do what you said. Amen. I'll do what you said. And you better go halfway tonight. Brother Wayne Dillard, they've been dead for a year, died 100-year-old, preached till he died just about. And you know, one old boy said, you know, I feel led of God to go hold a meeting. You said, better go halfway tonight. You'll be backed out by morning. I feel led of God to go hold a meeting. Said, you better go halfway tonight. You'll be backed out by morning. What did she say? B is here. And we've been married over 50 years. I talk to sisters everywhere, mothers, young ladies, old ladies, people that's in trouble. But the answer that I get from her helps me more than answers I get from any woman that lives on the earth. What are you pointing at? Don't you want to hear from God? You know, some folks don't want an answer because they know what it is before God tells them. Amen. Lord God. We're going further with it because we've got to go clear on up a long ways here. And I'm going to do that for you. And if I worry you, I beg your pardon. I just beg your pardon. But God answered David, said, tell you what the problem is. It's what the Israelites have done. Well, I was always following what happened. I'd have given a piece of my mind myself, Sister Collins. I'd have done the same thing Saul done. But God answered. That's the problem with it. Sister Collins, she treated me snotty, and I'm going to treat her snotty. A woman told me that one time, and I said, you're just going to have a snotty mess. That's what you're going to have. That's all you're going to have. What did God say? Shake her hand. What did God say? Hug his neck. Whole LL is went off deep in fellowships, everything in the world. Now, being friendly to neighbors and folks don't mean that you agree with every stinking thing they do. But what did God say? I've got mixed up a few times on what he said, but no harm in finding out what he said. I went to preach in Virginia, pulled up to church, just church time on a Sunday morning back in them rolling hills. Pulled up and got out and went in that holiness church. Every one of them looked like holiness people. They said, preach for us. I thought, well, I guess I ought to. I'm supposed to. You called me to come. And I sat there a while, and they didn't start. And they come back and said, would you preach for us this morning? Oh, yes, yes. I said. And I said, where's Mike Roberts, the pastor, at? They said, this is not his church. See, I want to follow the Lord, but once in a while, we get just a little mixed up on what he said. Go! He said slow. No, he didn't say slow. He said go! Sometimes we do get our spiritual hearing crossed up just a little, like a woman in California. Husband died, met an old wicked man uptown, fell for him, said the Lord won't do tomorrow. I know better. What'd you say? I just kept my mouth shut and prayed silent for the Lord to work it out. Not me, any kind of pastor I am. Dropped him like a hot potato. Pastor the church, praying for one of my young girls in the church. Fine young lady. Married now. Have had five children. They're all grown. Her husband, deacon for years over at Blanchard. And they go there now. When she was young, you know, I'm talking on what saith the answer of God unto him. Gets close. Right now it's a close. I'm nearly hunting by myself here. Except for LL. Spirit spoke to me while praying one evening for her and about her going with that boy she's going with. You tell her tonight, God said to me to drop him like a hot potato. Never go with him again. Brother Moore, you're fooling with private business. Well, I'm going to tell you what, there's some folks sitting right here and in every church I've ever been to wish some preacher had heard from God, and I'm not saying LL hasn't neither, but wish some preacher or somebody had heard from God had come in here like LD or somebody and said something to them that God moved on them to tell them. I went to her, I said, you drop him like a dirty shirt. You quit him like a hot potato tonight. You don't go with him anymore. Brother Moore, I was supposed to tell him tonight whether I'd marry him or not. Didn't God know it? And that evening he said, "You tell her not." I knew God told me. Then I said, "Do you know him?" "Yes, you do." "Did you know he drinks and smokes?" "Hey, don't preachers, Benny, you got to be careful. Don't tell all you know. You tear things all to pieces." But preachers know things. They look like dummies, but they're not. I mean, some of them do. He couldn't find himself away from a stop sign. I know what they think. It's that preacher standing over. You mean that fellow standing over by the wall? Yeah. That's the preacher? Yeah. Look like he's asleep, don't he? They see things out there back of the head, and they're like, "Ah." I was a young preacher. I could stand with my back to everybody on that platform, put near, tell you what they're doing behind. Give God the glory. But you're called to be a watchman. Who's that got the gun on and say, "Why are you doing walking through here?" It's a watchman. Laying over there in France, that's where my old uncle took the AWL over here and run back to the farm. I wouldn't go, and they put him in the brig over here and finally got him across the water and got up in the light of the enemy fires, the German fires, and old CDs laying on that old country boy, that old squirrel hunter, seeing them fires over yonder. And the guard laid down and went to sleep. Dandy got up, walked that guard. Here come a higher superior officer down through there, checked him, said, "CD, what he knew him, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be on guard." He said, "When I can see the light of the enemy far, Ed, CD, don't sleep. We're sending you back to put you through officer school. You're a man that listens. You're a man that watches. How about the man of God that watches? If he hears and God does deal with him and God does tell him, you better listen to him. You better listen to him. What saith the answer of God? I'm going to take this church, Joey. It's a good church. It's got a lot of people in it. It's got a lot of tithing in it. And it got a lot of musicians in it. But oh, glory, they got one down on the river. There ain't hardly nobody coming to. They've been trying to get me here. But you know God wants a man to prosper. Yes, but it'll be more prosperous on the river if God says it than it will what you're looking at." Hallelujah. What saith the answer of God to him? I'm going to have to run on to some more of my little thoughts I have here. In 1 Chronicles 21 and 26, the Bible said, I hope I help you a little now. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burning. I've heard folks and I've been with people. If I have to dance the huckabuck and the big apple to be in the spirit, I will just not be in the spirit. Would you believe that I've been there for them poor souls that said that, got made the mistake? Well, it wasn't really a mistake, but they come up to the altar to be prayed for because he's in a jam and need to get unjammed. And when God unjammed them, I never seen such a huckabuck and big apple in my life. I never seen such dancing, and they never figured on doing it, but God answered. Get out there, David, and cut a step. You're the king of the whole outfit, the best king Israel ever had for 40 years. But you get out there and hit it off for the Lord. God answered. It'll make mothers shout and run. It'll make old women shout and run. That used to make them when I was a boy dance among the babies on the pallets, 80 years old with their eyes shut. And they had the babies laying next to the seats on pallets in the aisle. Didn't have no nursery, and I'm not knocking them, but it'll make the old man leap and shout. Answered, God answered. Who's on the phone? God's on the phone. Woo, I've been there. Have mercy. Struggled and we prayed and like you all night and all day and all night and all day and took roundabout fast and turned about fast. Sister down. But one night she got up. She come out of it. Did God answer? Wait, I hear you praying. Hear you pray. We don't get the answer we want sometime, but would you take the answer you get? Come on. More time and again, the Lord said, if you go, I'll take care of the rest. I didn't want to go. But I know if only the rest took care of, I was going to have to go.